What do you do when you feel like giving up? Maybe you're struggling with a health issue or struggling with a broken relationship or a financial problem, or maybe you're just depressed because nothing seems to be going right and you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. What do you do? Well, I've got some good news for you today, and it's going to encourage you. God is ready to meet your every need. The truth is, God is for you, and He wants to give you hope, and He wants to give you joy, and He wants to heal your hidden wounds, and He wants you to learn to trust Him when the odds are against you. God is guiding you to the place where you can say, "Yes, I will trust God to meet my greatest needs." Join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part one of a message called What Kind of Father is God? It's taken from Matthew chapter 6. And now, here's Rick.
Now, your understanding of God will affect every area of your life. If you have misconceptions about God, what He's really like, you're going to tend to worry about things you shouldn't be worrying about. You're going to tend to feel guilty over things God has no intention of you feeling guilty about. You're going to carry unnecessary burdens and fears and doubts and depressions all through life that God never intended for you to have. Your understanding of God determines your happiness in life. And when you get a false conception about God, whether from the movies, from religion, from your parents, from the schoolyard or anybody, if you get a misconception about what God is really like, you will have unnecessary problems and misery in your life that you weren't intended to have. Now, one of the things that Jesus Christ came to earth to do was to show us what God is really like. And Jesus exploded all the stereotypes about God. He showed us that God is not some impersonal force, just a, you know, an energy field in the universe. God is not some angry tyrant who sits up in heaven waiting to make things miserable for people. God is not some apathetic creator who, winds up the world and sets it down and then sits back and benignly just watches it happen with no involvement. In fact, Jesus described God in two words. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the verse at the top of your outline there, He said, "This is how you should pray." In other words, this is how you should talk to God. This is how you should address the creator of the universe. He said, "Pray, our Father in heaven." God wants you to think of Him as a father. Now, this is no big deal to us today because we talk a lot about the fatherhood of God, that God is our Father. But when Jesus said those words 2,000 years ago, it was radical stuff. The hearers must have been absolutely shocked when He said, when you pray, God wants you to call Him Father. In the entire Old Testament, over thousands of years, God is only referred to as Father 7 times. Jesus refers to God as Father 7 times in this chapter alone. And in His life and in the Gospels, He talks about Father, God being our Father, over 150 times. He said, this is how God wants to relate to you. Now, the good news is that since God is a Father, we know that He is a person, not a power. It's very difficult to relate to a power, to a force, to an energy. But when you say, well, God is a father, I go, oh, I can relate to a father. I can be intimate with a father. I can talk to a father. I can have a relationship with a father. That's the good news. The bad news is, when I use the word father, for some people, that conjures up all kinds of painful memories. And rather than being a happy term, it's a sad term for some, and even an angry term for others. Stirs up... In some of you, when I say the word father, it stirs up deep resentment. You had a father who was neglectful. You had a father who was abusive, either physically or verbally. You had a father who just wasn't even there, was a non-entity in your life. And some of you when you think of the word father, it brings up fear. You remember phrases growing up like, just wait till your father gets home. And you think, well, okay, if God is like my father, no thanks, God. No thanks, God. I don't need a God like my father was. Because human fathers can make homes a hell on earth. Human fathers can be selfish. Human fathers can be demanding. Human fathers can be inconsistent. They can be self-centered. They can be abusive. They can be all kinds of things that we would say, well, I don't want that in my life. So Jesus qualified the term. And he said, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. He said, you pray to your heavenly Father. Now, he's not just talking about where God is, because God's everywhere. He's talking about the quality of God, that he is a heavenly Father as opposed to being an earthly Father. God is very, very different than human fathers. In the first place, God's perfect, and none of us who are human fathers are. We're all imperfect. We make mistakes. We blow it. God has never blown it. And so he is unlike us. He's at a higher plane. And we are to say our Father in heaven, or our heavenly Father. Now, I've noticed that there are four common misconceptions about God. I've talked to thousands of people about God personally over the years. And the misconceptions that people have tend to fall into one of four categories. I have no doubt that many of you here today have been deluded by one of these myths about God. For instance, some of you, when you think about God, you think that God is unreasonable. And the reason you don't want to get to know God is you think, oh, he puts all these unreasonable demands on my life that I could never possibly live up to. All he wants to do is make my life tough. All he wants to do is give me rules and regulations and restrictions. He wants to remove all my fun, all my enjoyment, all my happiness, that God is some kind of cosmic killjoy, and he's very unreasonable. And so, you know, if you feel that way, it's no wonder you don't get to know God. Because who wants to get to know somebody who they feel in their heart of hearts is unreasonable and too demanding? And some of you feel that way. Others of you, you don't feel God's unreasonable, but you do feel he's unreliable. And the reason for that is because you've been hurt. And it's an interesting characteristic of human behavior that when somebody hurts us, we not only blame that person, we blame God. If you've been attacked or you've been put down or you've been abused, you not only get mad at your attacker, you get mad at God. You say, God, you saw it. Why'd you allow it? And many of you here today, you've never gotten close to God because you've never dealt with resentment in your heart toward God, saying, blaming God for bad things that happened to you. Why did that happen, God? Well, if that's the kind of God you are, no thanks, God. And so you're resistant because you just think he's not unreasonable, but he's unreliable. I can't trust him. And when you've been hurt a lot, you say, well, I'm not going to trust anybody, and I'm certainly not going to trust God. Now, you've never thought about why God allowed that hurt. See, God has given each of us the freedom to choose. That's one of God's greatest gifts to us. God could have made you a puppet where you didn't have a choice between good and evil, where you could only do good. And God could have kept people from hurting you by taking away their freedom to choose. But he didn't. And because he's given us the freedom to choose, people make wrong decisions and they hurt other people. And you've been hurt by people who made bad decisions. Now, God could have taken away their freedom to do that, but he also would have, to been fair, taken away your freedom, and you wouldn't have liked that. Because we always focus on how people have hurt us. Have you ever focused on the fact that you've hurt a lot of people? And God never stopped you. You've hurt many people through your own selfishness and self-centeredness. And so we blame God for our hurts as if he caused it all. He didn't cause those hurts. People did. And he allowed it because he's allowed freedom of choice in the world. He wants you to choose what's good. Others of you, you don't think God's unreasonable or unreliable, but you do think God is unconcerned. You think, hey, yes, I believe there is a God. He just is too busy to bother with me. How could God be, you know, possibly interested in me? I mean, God's got big things to worry about, like universes to create and stuff like that. How could he be concerned about my job, my kids, my family, my career, my schooling, my education, my boyfriend? I mean, those things seem petty, and so God, you think, is unconcerned. And if you think he's unconcerned, certainly you're not going to try to get to know him, because you just think, well, he's out there aloof, kind of like that Bette Midler song, God is watching us from a distance. Not up close, but, you know, backed off from a distance. And then a fourth misconception about God, and many of you have this one, is that God is unpleasable. And you think that no matter how hard you try, it's never good enough in God's eyes. that if you get C's on your report card, God wants B's. And if you got B's, God wants A's. And if you got A's, God wants straight A's and A pluses. Now, where in the world do you get an idea like that? I wonder. You see, what most of us tend to do is we tend to take the weaknesses of our parents and enforce them onto God. And so if you grew up with unpleasable parents, you tend to think God is unpleasable. And if you grew up with an aloof father, you tend to think God is an aloof father. And so forth, and so forth. Whatever your parent was like, you tend to just push on to God. Now, today what I want you to do is I want you to kind of open up your mind, and I want to take all of the concepts that you've had about God to this date, and I want you to take them out and just kind of set them on the shelf for a minute. Because instead, we're going to look at what God says about himself in the Word, in the truth, in the Bible. Because the Bible says it is the truth that sets you free. And the Bible says that God is very, very different than the way he is portrayed in most movies, in most religions, and even by most families. What does the Bible say God is really like? What kind of father is God?
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called What Kind of Father is God? From the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. And we'll continue in just a moment. Pastor Rick has served the church locally and nationally, even internationally, for more than 30 years. He's authored many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. If you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he would love to hear your story. So please connect with us at the Daily Hope website, which is rickwarren.org, or call us 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or call us 1-800-600-5004. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren coming right up.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, Rick Warren.
The Bible says it is the truth that sets you free. And the Bible says that God is very, very different than the way he is portrayed in most movies, in most religions, and even by most families. What does the Bible say God is really like? What kind of father is God? Since it's Father's Day, I thought that's an appropriate subject. What kind of father is God? Well, number one, the Bible says that God is a caring father. He is a caring father, that he is compassionate, he is loving, he is gracious, and he cares about you. In fact, he loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you more than you will ever be able to experience. You can't even understand how much God loves you because your brain isn't big enough to handle it. But compassion is God's number one characteristic and attribute. The Bible tells us in Psalms 104, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor him. God is caring. God is compassionate. There's a story in the Bible where the disciples, the original 12 guys who followed Jesus, were out in a fishing boat one day on the lake, and Jesus was in the boat asleep, and they're fishing, and all of a sudden storm comes up, and the waves start rising, and the rains are pouring down, and it's thundering and lightning, and the little boat begins to be rocked in the rocky sea. And all of a sudden, the water is coming in over the sides of the boat, and it's sinking and starting to capsize. Jesus is asleep over at one end of the boat, obviously not concerned about this. And the disciples, the story tells us, go over and wake him up and shake him and say, Lord, don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? That is one of the most profound questions in human existence. Does God care about my problems? Does God care about my hurts? Me? The things I'm going through? The stresses I'm feeling? The worries I'm experiencing? Does God really care about what happens to me? Until you settle that issue, you're never going to get to know God. Because if you think he doesn't care, why in the world get to know him? Does God care about the details in your life? Well, the answer is yes. And he says it many, many times in the Bible. One place is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Notice it says there, cast some of your anxiety on him. Oh, I didn't say that, does it? Cast all of the spiritual sounding problems on him. No, it says what? Cast all. Circle that. All your anxiety on him. That means every kind of anxiety you have. Financial, physical, social, spiritual, mental, relational. All your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Notice that. Circle that. He cares for you. Does God care about your house payments? Yes. Does God care about the fact that your kids need new braces on their teeth? Yes. Does God care about the grades you get at school? Yes. Does God care about whether you have a boyfriend or not? Yes. Does God care about your moods? Yes. Does God care about your financial investments? Yes. Does God care about your dreams and hopes and ambitions? Yes. Does he care about whether you were a success or a failure in life? Absolutely. He is a caring Father. And you have a Heavenly Father that cares about all the details of your life. In fact, he knows every detail of your life. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head, knows how many you have. They're numbered. Now, for some of you, that isn't too hard. But I guarantee you, there's not a person in here today that knows how many hairs you have. God knows every hair on your head, and he knows their original color. I mean, you may have all of us fooled, but your hairdresser and God know for sure. He is intimate. God knows the moles on your body that nobody else has ever seen. He knows every intimate detail of your life. Now, look at this next verse. Because of that, the Bible says this. Don't worry saying, what do we eat? Or what do we wear? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. He says, hey, what are you worrying about? God knows the details of your life. He's going to take care of your needs. Fathers, do you want your kids to worry about where their next meal is going to be? No. Do you want your kids worrying about whether they'll have clothes to wear to school? No. If my kids came to me and said, Dad, I'm worried. And I said, what's your problem? I'm worried that we're not going to have enough to eat. I would consider that a personal failure. It would be an affront to me because it is my job as a dad to take care of my kids' needs. I love them. I care about them. And I have committed to meeting their needs. And if their needs aren't being met, I blame myself. Now, God doesn't want you worrying about your needs either because he's your heavenly Father. He says, I don't want you worrying about whether you're going to have money to eat or clothes to wear. He says, I'm going to take care of your needs because he is a caring Father. He says, don't worry. Whenever you start to worry about anything in life, it is a warning sign that you have started to doubt the love of God. That's what worry is. Worry is doubting that God is in control and that God cares. And you think, oh, I better worry about this because God can't handle this one, or God's not caring enough about this one. I should care about this. I'm going to have to work this out because God doesn't care. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. Every time you are worrying, you are doubting that God really cares about the details of your life. One time a guy came to me and he's all stressed out and going through, you know, attacks, panic attacks, and felt nervous and pressured and fatigued. And he was telling me about all the things he was worried about, and he finally said, you know, I guess what my problem is, Pastor Rick, is I just don't love God enough. I guess that's my problem. I said, buddy, you missed the point entirely. Your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is you don't realize how much he loves you. That's why you worry. That's why you get stressed. That's why you get tense and nervous. You don't realize how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he's committed to take care of your needs if you will trust him. And because you don't realize how much he loves you, that's why you're all stressed out. You need to understand that God is a caring Father.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will be back to share a closing thought, but first, I'd love to tell you about the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. When you log on there, you can get today's entire message, get message notes, social media links. You can even sign up for the great Daily Hope devotional that Rick's put together. So log on now, rickwarren.org. And you know, we don't have to tell you that life can be filled with tough, tough situations. You've got stress and crisis, discouragement, depression, failure. But the Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions. So, taking you inside the lives of biblical characters such as Moses, Paul, and Jesus himself, Pastor Rick has written a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In it, he shares their stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work right away in your own life. Now, today, we would love to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, and it gives you the keys to a better life. Change may not come overnight, but with patience and prayer, you're going to see a difference. And in the process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance for which you were created. So please give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It's 1-800-600-5004. That number again, 800-600-5004. And now back to Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
As I mentioned in today's broadcast, one day a guy came to me all stressed out and fatigued, and he told me about all the things he was worrying about, and finally said, "You know, I guess my problem, Pastor Rick, is I just don't love God enough." And I said, "No, that's not your problem. Your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is that you don't realize how much He loves you. That's why you worry. That's why you get stressed. You don't realize how much God cares about you, how much He's committed to taking care of you. You need to understand that God is a caring Father. You know, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. That means every kind of anxiety you've got, financial, physical, social, spiritual, mental, relational, cast all your anxiety on Him. Because He cares for you. That's a good verse to memorize, 1 Peter 5:7. You might write that down on a card and try to memorize it today. Now, does that mean that God cares about your house payments? Yes. Does He care about the grades you get in school? Yes. Does He care about your investments? Yes. Does He care about your dating life? Yes. Does He care about where you're going to get the money for braces for your kids? Yes. Does God care about your dreams and hopes and ambitions? Absolutely. You have a heavenly Father who knows and cares about every detail of your life. You'll recall the story that when the disciples were in the boat out on the Sea of Galilee during a storm, and Jesus fell asleep in the boat while the storm was going on. He wasn't worried. But the disciples get all stressed out. And they wake Jesus up and they say, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care about this situation we're in?" You may have felt that way. It's one of the most profound questions in human existence. Does God care about what I'm going through right now? Does God care about my hurts? Does God care about my grief? Does God care about my stress? The answer is, of course He cares. He is a caring Father. And until you settle that issue, you're going to live a life filled with worry and anxiety and fear, which leads to depression and so many other things. You need to get to know the God of the Bible. God is a caring Father. I need to ask this question today. Am I casting all my anxieties on the Lord, or am I holding them all back to myself? If you say, "I'm not really doing that, I'm worrying." Worrying means you're not casting. And what does it mean to cast? It means you just let it go. You just drop it. You're not like casting a fly fishing pole that is a long distance. It means just take that rock and drop it where it is. And if you'll do that, you'll find your anxiety going down and your love and your joy and your peace going up. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.